Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. On yesterday's podcast, we talked about the importance of control and social, a sense of control and social connectedness as it relates to building resilience and sort of fending off the challenges that are presented with various traumas that we experience in our life. Mm-hmm. Today, we're going to talk about the other end of that spectrum and talk about situations that have been very widely reported upon in the news, related to the children, the immigrant children that were removed from their parents and placed in these camps, for lack of a better word, while their parents were detained in jails or other facilities.
Right. This week we're doing these news stories, you know, that popped up, and one of them was the Thai, the boys in the cave. Everybody was following that story. The other story that came at the same time were the separation of children from their parents. Now, this is again one of those, there's a political component to this, but there's also a child development component to this. We want to talk about the child development component. Whether you agree or disagree with zero tolerance, that's not really that's not our issue right now. We don't want to politicize this. But there were all these stories about children being separated from their parents. Mm-hmm. And the reason this happens is because if parents enter the country illegally, which is a legal decision that courts have to make, while those decisions are being made, the parents might be retained, jailed, put in some kind of confinement, but you can't confine the children.
Right.
So there's an, if you confine the parents, you don't want to confine the children. And I think everybody agrees with that. You don't want to put the, but you don't want to put the children in some kind of jail, okay?
Right.
So there has to be some humane way of dealing with the children. But it does demand a separation, okay? And that's what we want to talk about, is what is the effect of, because there's a great deal of talk about that in the news, and there's all this compassion for these children, and you hear people saying, well, it's their own fault, they're not supposed to come here.
Right.
Well, people have been coming here for hundreds of years with children, and so, but we don't want to get into that argument.
Right.
What we want to talk about is, what do we know about separating children from their parents?
Right.
Okay. Particularly very young children, about birth to 3, and then 3 to 5. And so, what does it do to children when they're involuntarily separated from their parents?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because again, it's sort of in opposing position to what we talked about yesterday, you know, as it relates to the Thai boys and their the resilience that they were able to hopefully develop and formulate as a result of being connected and together during that episode of traumatic life experience. These children are, you know, again, I think it's well said that we're not going to get into the political side of it, because I mean, we certainly have our own views of the political nature of it. But the concern is, of course, with kids, with the kids. What's going to happen to these kids? What is happening to these kids? And it's critical that we consider that, because I think that, I think one of the saddest things to me has been some of the coldness from people who say, as you said, well, they shouldn't have come over. You know, the 5-year-old had no choice.
That's right.
You know, sure, it was a choice that their parent makes, but the 5-year-old didn't make that choice. And but the 5-year-old is going to be the one with the long-term consequences of
it. That's right. We have to remember that when people leave their country, I mean, you have to be pretty desperate to do what these people are doing. This is not an easy journey. It's not like they're getting on a plane. They're not taking it to, they don't have luxury accommodations.
And they know the risk.
there's a true, I mean, first of all, it's very expensive. Mm-hmm. Everything is stolen from them, mm-hmm. by the coyotes. And then they get here and they don't know where they're going. They don't know the language. This is an enormous risk that people are taking.
Right.
So to say that, oh, they're using these kids or they aren't really their kids, all of that may be true.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't,
right.
That's not what our point here is. The point is, these are political decisions, but political decisions should be driven by something other than
mm-hmm.
politics.
Right.
And so let's talk about this issue. What we mm-hmm. want to do is talk about the issue of separating children
mm-hmm.
and what effect does it have, and should perhaps, if we know about the effects of separation of children from their parents, that might also affect how we deal with this problem.
Right.
Nobody denies we have an immigration problem.
Right.
Everybody knows right. that. But there are solutions.
Yeah.
And every time I hear zero tolerance, I think of Columbine and you know, zero tolerance in schools. And it was catastrophic
right.
because too many innocent children got caught in zero tolerance and shouldn't have. So when I hear of zero tolerance, I shudder a little bit because
right.
that's black and white, and there are a few black and white issues.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, we have to solve the problem. But I think that part of that, it has to be an informed decision,
mm-hmm.
and part of the decision has to be based on what is the effect on these kids.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so the primary thing that we're going to focus on with this is the issue of attachment.
Right.
Attachment early in life is a critical developmental phenomenon
right.
that helps formulate the foundation and the basis from which all other relationships in your life
That's
are
right.
built.
That's right.
You know, if you have a solid, firm, well-developed attachment to your primary caregiver, whomever that primary caregiver may
be. Doesn't matter who it is. Right.
If you have a good attachment to that person, mm-hmm. you significantly increase the probability that you're going to be able to maintain, develop, and create healthy relationships in the future.
Right.
When that attachment is damaged,
right.
that's when we become at risk for a variety, a slew mm-hmm. of developmental right. and emotional problems.
Right. And this business of attachment isn't something that just came up
right.
because of this problem. There's 75 years worth of research
right.
that has been done on this topic. Eric Erickson did it in the previous century.
Right.
And he was talking about the importance of having a trusting relationship
mm-hmm.
with an adult caregiver.
Yeah.
Children are altricial. They develop mm-hmm. very slowly. And so for the first 3 years of life, at least, they need to be cared for mm-hmm. by a caring adult. And
mm-hmm.
if that's missing,
right.
things don't turn out well for those
right.
kids. There's a condition called reactive attachment disorder.
Right.
And kids react to a lack of attachment to their
right.
parents. So this is serious business with hundreds and hundreds of research studies done
right.
across the globe.
Right.
These aren't just American children.
Right.
These are children in every culture.
Yeah.
Need to have this close attachment,
mm-hmm.
trusted relationship with a caregiver.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we develop attachment through a sense of safety and security. You know, mm-hmm. when a child feels as though, and their experiences demonstrate as such, that they are cared for, that their needs are going to be met, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, when the parent, you know, think about separation anxiety, the issue is loosely related to attachment in that the child is confident in the fact that the parent that's leaving is going to return.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's why separation is so difficult for really young children, because we have a thing like object permanence, mm-hmm. you know, for really young kids, especially, you know, mm-hmm. infants and toddlers, if they don't see it, it doesn't exist.
Right.
So when they don't see their mom or their dad or their
they don't.
Whoever, they no longer exist.
That's right. They don't have the cognitive capacity
right.
to say, oh, well, she's somewhere else.
Right.
No. If they're not in the line of vision, mm-hmm. they no longer exist.
Right.
It's a scary thought for a young kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't develop until a little bit later. So when we have young kids, especially,
mm-hmm.
you know, teenagers can do a little bit better mm-hmm. at adapting and adjusting to some of these things, because they you know, as they develop the cognitive capacity to
right.
understand some of these abstract
assuming
factors.
That they had good attachment as infants.
Assuming, right.
Right. So we're assuming that they're securely attached.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so by the time they get to a teenage years, they have enough foundation to manage on their own.
Right. Mm-hmm. But when we when we're thinking about young kids, especially early elementary and toddlers and things like that, the big concern again with these immigrant children is that when they are separated from their parents, when they are transported from Texas to New York City to live with, you know, some other family that they don't know, and they have no idea if they will ever see their biological parents again.
Right. The adults may know, well, we're going to reunite you eventually. Mm-hmm. The kids don't know that.
Right.
And you can't just tell them that everything's going to be okay.
Right. Because there's nothing, there is no evidence in their life to suggest that
right.
that's correct.
That's correct. Yeah.
So, again, fully recognizing that that the parents came into the situation fully aware of what could happen,
mm-hmm.
the kids weren't. And so they are going to suffer potentially long-term consequences
right.
as a result of some of these actions that we're taking.
That's right. And kids go through three phases.
Mm-hmm.
The boys in the cave didn't.
Right.
These kids are going to go through three phases. First of all, you protest.
Right.
And they protest by crying.
Right.
Okay. There's something is wrong here. You're taking things away. And the first step is they protest. That's
right.
all the crying that everybody reported.
Right.
The second is once their cries are not answered,
mm-hmm.
once nobody is responding to their crying, then they develop despair.
Right.
Okay. And then there's a hopelessness that
right.
sets in. That's sort of probably where most of them are right now.
Right.
And then that despair leads to detachment.
Right.
Okay, then the kids detach from everybody.
Right.
And it's that isolation, that mm-hmm. breaking of social connections
right.
that leads to the eventual depression, anxiety, anger, and aggression
right.
that we see later in life.
Right.
And we've talked many times here and in our presentations about the rat pup studies where they're separated from their parents. And that kind of neglect and separation can actually change a person's
right.
DNA.
Absolutely.
I mean, it happens at a very basic biological level
right.
that you actually change your DNA
right.
when you have this detachment. So this is really serious business.
Right.
And there is a large body of research over the 75-year period that
right.
says things don't turn out well when you
yeah.
yank kids, when you break this attachment.
Yeah, when most of you talk with your kids and you're going to go to the store and leave them at home,
mm-hmm.
and they look at you despairingly and you
right.
say, it's okay, I'll be back in a few minutes.
Right back, right.
They know that you're going to be back because in the past you've always
right.
come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these kids now, if they talk with their parents and their parents says, you know, at some point in the future after they're
mm-hmm.
you know, reunited, hopefully, and the parent says, I just have to go to the store, I'll be right back. Why would the child believe, you know, their evidence is that maybe they won't come back.
And I have no control over it.
And the parent has no control over it.
That's right.
And so if the person that's supposed to take care of you has no control over some of these important things in their life, what sense of security and attachment
right.
does that leave for the child?
Right. No, it's very, very damaging.
Right.
And you can never underestimate the amount of damage that this does to children.
Right.
And in these two news stories, we see how things can turn out well if you have those. And with the Thai boys.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, you're going to see how things will turn out poorly for
uh-huh.
many of these children.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So we're going to talk more about this topic in tomorrow's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few articles that we posted the links to in the show notes for this
right.
podcast, but we have another one that we're going to talk about tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
Sort of the triple whammy
right.
of some of these issues that have been going on the border. And so we're going to really emphasize some things tomorrow.
Right.
Talk mm-hmm. more about attachment.
Yeah, three specific things mm-hmm. that happen so that we all have a really good understanding. I think it's really helpful for people who don't have a background in child development. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we have a background in child development, so we know about these studies,
right.
the orphanages and
mm-hmm.
all that, and the rat pups and all those studies that have been done.
Mm-hmm.
But for people who don't know this issue,
mm-hmm.
It is a very, very serious issue. This is not should
right.
not be a political issue.
Right.
This is a basic issue of child development. And for example, in this first article that you're going to be posting,
mm-hmm.
These are 40 professionals from around the world
right.
who have weighed in on this topic.
Right.
So it's not it's not to be taken lightly.
Right.
It's a very, very serious issue.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, all right, but definitely check out the articles here, and save them for when you listen to the podcast tomorrow as well.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
All right. Well, that is it then for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.
Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.